All right, how many brought your Bibles this morning? Hold them up. We want to see copies of the Word of God. That's good, all right? And some people's holding up iPhones and iPads. I'll forgive you. I'm not going to fuss. There's a lot of things I'm fussed about, a lot of things to do, but I ain't going to fuss about that one. I've learned with kids, you got to pick your battles, and as a pastor, you got to learn to pick your battles too. And sometimes it ain't worth it. It just takes me forever to find it. Sometimes you say, well, Brother Grant, it takes you forever. We saw you in that sword drill at church camp. Brother Larry Butt was cheating. And I had blank pages in my Bible. So anyway, that's another story. Psalm 103 this morning. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. In our approach, Thanksgiving is a national holiday. We take time to give thanks for God's bountiful blessings upon our nation. If there is one holiday that we observe as a nation that ought to tell the world that we are not a nation without God, it's the holiday of Thanksgiving. That is the holiday we declare thankfulness to God. And let me just say to you that when Thanksgiving was inaugurated, it wasn't the God of Muhammad either. I'm sorry, it was this nation was founded by Christians, and I still believe that. And now we're tolerant, but the truth of the matter is I'm not going to back up on my heritage and what I believe and what I know to be historically correct. A national day of Thanksgiving, I believe, is a wonderful thing. Heard a story about two young men one day. I think their names were probably like Sammy and Roger. I don't know. But they were trying to get to their grandmother's house, and if they took the road, it was going to take them about an hour. But if they cut across the field that there's this large bull in, they could probably be there in about 10 minutes. And they took the chance and started to cross the field to go to grandma's house. And so they're crossing the field. Sure enough, the bull got after them. And it seemed to be that they both had had a little bit of Christian raising, but they was going across the field, and they started running, and Sammy started looking at Roger, and he said, listen, you got to pray. This bull's going to run us down. He said, I don't know what I'm going to pray. He said, just pray the prayer you've been taught. And so the bull was just feet from him. Roger closed his eyes as he's running, put his hands together, and said, Lord, thank you for what we're about to receive. Okay? I had to throw that in there just because of Sammy's incident. Amen. He wasn't here today. But you can tell him I told that story on him. Anyway, listen, we sometimes can be shallow as Christians about what we're thankful for. We said, Lord, thank you for all our blessings. Amen. Man, we need to take some time and reflect, meditate, and everything that God has done for us. In Psalm 103, I believe David stirs his soul to think about what God has done for him. Read with me in Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as a grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, all ye angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord, or of His word. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God this morning. We are thankful that we can come here and worship You. I'm thankful for the freedom that we have. This freedom didn't come easy, didn't come cheap. But today we gather without fear. We gather with hopeful hearts. And we gather with thankful hearts for what we have as a nation, what we have as a people. And Lord, there may be trouble in this world, and there may be dissatisfaction and disunity in our own nation, but God is Your people. Let us lift up a different banner. Help us lift up one that says we are thankful for all the things that God has blessed us with. May we not forget Your benefits. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on forget not today. You see, a child of God has a myriad of reasons to give thanks every single day. And this psalm gives several reasons. You read the psalms, and Psalms 107, Psalms 100, there's so many psalms that we could turn to today that gives us many reasons that we have to bless the Lord God of heaven and be thankful for all that He has done. Now, this psalm was written by David and probably written while he was an older man and probably when he had some more experiences in life than he had as a younger man. He was able to look back and reflect upon the life that he lived and understood the consequences of sin, but yet understood how awesome God was to forgive sins, to pick someone up that had fallen. He understood that. He uses a word that catches my attention when we look, and he says in verse 2, and forget not all His benefits. That word forget means to have a lapse in memory that may cause us to wander. We have a tendency to forget everything that God has done, oftentimes just because of the busyness of life, because life is hurried, because we're distracted, and because we fail to slow down, and we're negligent to give God thanks for everything that He's done in our life. The first verse tells us the proclamation of thanksgiving. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His name. You see, it's almost as David is trying to prod himself along. He starts to think and he starts to reflect and he speaks to him, bless the Lord, O my soul. I am responsible. I need to give God thanks for everything that He has done, but not just give Him thanks for everything done, everything that was within me. My emotions, my intellect, my abilities ought to give God thanks and bless His holy name. You see, I believe that it should be something that should be frequent from God's children. We're easy to complain, we're easy to criticize, but listen, the truth of the matter is, God's people ought to be a people that is noted for giving thanks for everything they have. But often we have to be reminded. We need to proclaim, and David's almost making a proclamation. I need to bless. And the word bless means to give adoration, praise, or worship to someone worthy. And may I say to you, there's only one person that deserves praise, worship, and adoration. Only one person worthy, and that's God. We ought to give Him thanks for everything that He has done. And so, not only that, there is the prerequisite of thanksgiving in verse number 2. The Bible says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. David warns about us forgetting the benefits of God in his life. Now, many people take a job. I've said this before. Not because of the salary, but because of the benefits. They take the job not because of necessarily the amount of hours they're going to have to work, but because of the package that they offer, the benefit, the things that comes with having that job. There's perks with having that job. And so when he speaks of the benefits here, that forgetting not, he means, as I said before, not to have a lapse of memory that can cause one to wander. But notice this. I want you to understand, when we forget what God has done for us and what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and what God has accomplished on the Calvary as His Son died as our substitution, died died in our place, there is a danger that we will wander from Him. And so I say to you, we need to forget not Calvary. We need to forget, listen, we ought to celebrate and worship the fact that God came in the flesh. I'm thankful for that. Lived a sinless life. Lived a life in power. Lived a life in passion and gave His life on Calvary. But I'm thankful not only did He die on Calvary, but He rose again. And because He rose again, I am justified and set free from my sins. I have freedom today. And so we ought to be thankful for that. And we should never forget those things or have a lapse of memory. But when we don't focus on those things, you know what happens? We get forgetful. We get to be thankful. And it causes us a lapse of memory that causes us to wander. We wander away from God. Let me tell you why people wander away from church, because they're not thankful. Not thankful what God's done for them, because they're truly thankful they'd be here. People don't serve God the way they should. It's because they're not thankful for what God has done for them. Listen to me. I want to say to you, thankfulness is not an option. It's something that has been commanded. You see, He says, God's given us these benefits, these advantages, these aids, these rewards, these compensations for serving Him, living for Him. God has blessed us. We need not forget those things. You see, it's not something that He said is optional in your life. God's commanded you to be thankful. So it's something you must do on purpose. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That sounds good when everything's going well, but when things are difficult, things are hard, it's hard to be thankful, is it not? But He didn't say just when things are good. He didn't say when everything was pleasant. He said in everything. Not just the good things, even the bad things. He said, be thankful, for this is the will of God. And in Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all things, give thanks. Give thanks for all things unto God. Do you realize even your griefs are things we ought to give thanks for? Brother Andy shared with us when his mom was killed in the accident how that he had to finally thank God for taking her. And he talked about how difficult that was to come to grips to say that. But may I say to you, it's sometimes in life we need to understand that God's plan is always the right plan. We may not understand it. By the way, God has never told us that we'll understand His plan here. Amen. And that's not a requirement for us to serve Him or not. We're to trust Him. Amen. God is faithful. God knows what He's doing. Hebrews 13:5 says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and content with such things as you had, saith the Lord. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Listen, I want you to understand that God has said that we ought to give thanks. We ought to be content with the things that God has blessed us with. But we're always looking around to find something to complain about. Why don't I have that? I wish I had this. I wish my life was different. I wish I had a different job. Why don't we learn to be thankful? Because if you're not thankful for the things that God has given you now, you'll never be thankful for anything else that'll fall your way. Let me just say to you, I believe that when we're thankful, it brings about a peace in our heart. Philippians 4 and 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing." It means don't worry about stuff. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with" what? "Thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And what happens? "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let me tell you, it only brings peace of heart. It brings peace of mind when you're thankful. Now, not only that, but it brings contentment, Philippians, as you continue to read in that chapter. Notice in verse number 9 of Philippians 4, he said, "Those things which we've learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul goes on to say, "I rejoice greatly now that the last of your care has flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now I speak of respect to want, for I've learned in whatsoever state that I am therewith to be content." He says, listen, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed to be full, to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. And it was the same Paul that wrote, "Finally, brethren." Here's what he talked about. How will you remain thankful? Because here's what he said in verse number 8. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure or lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Let me tell you something. If we'll think on the right things, we'll have a thankful heart. And we can have a heart that's filled with peace. A heart that full of praise. Let me just tell you, we understand, thirdly, the purpose of thanksgiving. And notice what he says in verse number 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Listen, you'll find that David gives 8 reasons that ought to be a stimulant to our heart, to cause us to give thanks and praise, not just in the month of November, but I believe in every month of the year. Now, number 1, we'll be thankful for God's forgiveness. God has saved us. Look, I want you to understand in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, through His blood. I am thankful that we have forgiveness of sins. Every single person is guilty and culpable for God for their own sins. Verse number 3 says, who forgiveth thine iniquities. David's able to look back in his life. David didn't do everything perfect. David had made a gom out of a lot of things. Now you think about this. He fell into the sin with Bathsheba. There were times that he got discouraged and he made a fool out of himself and had to act like he was a madman just to get out of trouble. And you'll find that David did a lot of things that he probably should not have done. But he looked back and said, you know what? God was faithful. God always forgave me. And God always cleaned me up. And God always picked me back up. And God always allowed me to keep living for Him and serving for Him. Listen, I want to say to you, there's many times in my life that I have messed up, that I've failed. I've made a gom of this thing. But yet God has always been faithful to forgive me. David understood that, and he was thankful for that. And I will say to you, in your life today, you may be here, it's not because you're perfect, it's because you're a failure. You're a failure that God didn't give up on. You're a mess up that God just kept loving, amen. You're a goof up whom God had hope in when the world said we ought to discard them. God said, I'll not, a bruised reed I'll not break. Smoking flax I'll not quench. You see, that's how God operates. He is one that is willing to forgive. But He's a healing God too. And you'll find in verse number 3, He says, who healeth all thy diseases. Now I want to say to you, all physical healing, it will not be completed. All the terms of redemption has been set in Jesus Christ. But all the benefits of redemption will not take place until we receive a glorified body. But I tell you one thing He has done. He has healed us from disease and from sin. God has come along and He is our healer. Now, and not only that, not only has He healed us spiritually, but there's many people here today that can stand up and they can testify that the only reason that they're here is because God was their healer. Man, we ought to rejoice in what God is able to do. We ought to be rejoicing in God's redemption. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says, for as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest these last times for you. Let me tell you the truth. Jesus came to redeem us from sin. That means to set us free. I am thankful that He purchased us out of the slave market. I'm thankful that He come to give us freedom in Him. Look at verse number 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Let me tell you what I would be today. I would be a nothing, no good for nothing, probably drunk or drug addict. My life may not even exist yet today if it had not been for the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. And you may think that you're something today, but you're nothing. You would be nothing if it hadn't been the fact that God redeemed you. I still remember God picked me up and God cleaned me up. I still remember where I was and where God brought me from. Man, I am thankful for the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. Man, we can preach here. That's just 3 of them. And notice, I believe he's pointing out he's thankful for God's grace. He says, listen, who redeemed thy life of destruction and crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know what God did? He showed us loving kindness and tender mercies by His grace. When He offered the unmerited favor of God on our behalf, that's His grace. Not only that, I want you to see this today. We see that salvation and the eternal blessings that come with salvation, they're illustrated the grace that takes place in their life through verses 8 through 18. Now, I don't have time to hit them all, but I want you to notice this. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That's what He is to me. It says he, in verse 10, he's not dealt with us after our own sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I'm thankful. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful God hadn't put the hammer down every time I messed up. Huh? Aren't you? I'm thankful He didn't squash us like a bug. He messed up. And that's how some people view God. But now here's what He says. He says, like a father pitieth his children, in verse number 13, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And in verse 11 it says, for as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so He has removed our transgressions. God has forever taken care of my sins. Eternally taken care of. I am thankful for what He has done. He says, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows we're nothing. As for man, his days are as the grass, as a flower of the field. It flourishes. The wind passes over it. It is gone, the place thereof. We shall not know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Let me just tell you something. Everything we know in this life, whether it's family, it's temporary. Whether it's a vehicle, it gets old, it rusts, and it tears up. You can buy a new house. You're going to have to put a new roof eventually over that house. You're eventually going to have to put new carpet in there if you live long enough. Your clothes, they wear. Everything we know in this life is temporary, and life passes just like this. Some of you young people don't believe it, but boy, it happens. I seem like I ought to be just the same age as my boys are. It just seems like that was yesterday, and here I stand today. But let me tell you something. Everything is temporary, everything ruins, and everything is fleeting by. But the truth of the matter is, the grace of God is from everlasting to everlasting. I'm thankful it's eternal. It isn't something in my mind, I can't comprehend that. Because nothing lasts forever and nothing's that good. But the grace of God is, because God has so declared it. Let me just tell you something. We see everything. We see God's restoration in verse number 5. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy mouth is so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let me just tell you something. I have a book called Strange Scriptures that perplex the Western mind. Thy youth renewed like the eagles. You know, a male eagle, his beak continues to grow. And eventually gets so big that he can't eat. And think about this. And what happens is that eagle gets big and strong. So what happens? He has to go and do something about that. He can't eat. And what happens is he starts just shrinking. He gets smaller. Feathers start falling out. He doesn't look anything attractive. He's not impressive one bit. But you know what the eagle does? The eagle has to go somewhere, find a rock, and peck and peck and peck and peck until he breaks his beak. Now think about that. Breaks it off so he can eat again. And while he's able to eat, the beak begins to grow. And suddenly he gets new feathers. He gains his strength. And suddenly this eagle that looked like death warmed over a couple months ago looks like a big, strapping, strong, new eagle. But let me just tell you something. The only way that he got there, he had to go through some adversity. He had to go through some heartache. He had to go through some pain. Had to go through some suffering. And so you say, what are you saying to me? I want you to understand, we serve a God that can take us when our broken state, when the world looks at us and we look as though we're ruined and there's not much help, there's not much use, there's no value in us, and He is able to take us that our youth is renewed like the eagle. He can restore us to where we used to be. Let me just tell you something. Caleb, at 85 years old, still had spiritual vitality that most of God's people don't have a clue of. And he was able to say, give me that mountain. I want everything that God has promised to me. You want me to tell you why? Because God renewed his strength. He renewed his vitality. His youth was restored like the eagles. And I'm thankful that God is in the restoration business. He can take those whose lives are messed up and restore them back. Man, we ought to rejoice, be thankful for that. Thankful for His intercession, He says in verse number 6. Well, I could give you a ton of verses, but notice He says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that is oppressed. Let me tell you, there's one man that stands as a mediator for Grant Hardwick, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for His revelation. Verse 7 says, He hath made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. You see, we can know Him. We can have fellowship with Him. The book of Hebrews in chapter 1 tells us God has revealed Himself in sundry times and diverse manners. And He's revealed Himself in the prophet. But in these last days, how did He reveal Himself? He revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you'll find in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, it makes it very clear how he did this. Turn, I love it. John chapter number 1, and verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse number 14 says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let me tell you, one day, Jesus Christ, the second part of the Godhead, come down and was born in a manger, became a human for us, amen. And He was the very Logos, or the Word of God that was in heaven. He became God in flesh. And we beheld Him, and we're able to proclaim Him through the writings of not only the prophets, but also the apostles and the Bible writers that God gave us. And we can declare, why? God wants to reveal Himself to every person here today. That He is God. We ought to be thankful for that. God has revealed Himself. We see in verse number 19, one thing we ought to be thankful for in 103 is God is sovereign. He had prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Let me tell you, we know all things work together for good to them, love God to them. They're called according to His purpose. Let me just say this to you this morning. I've just barely scratched the surface of His blessings. Well, I'll be thankful for our family. Thankful for able to come and worship Him and serve Him. I would say to you today, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Thankful for the wife that God has given me. The three boys about drive me crazy and keep me so busy, I don't know if I'm coming or going. I'm thankful for the guidance that we have from the Word of God, for a church that loves the Lord and wants to stand by the stuff. I'm thankful for all those loved ones that have went on. One day I'm going to see again because of the promises that God has left for me. I'm thankful for people that has molded my life, influenced my life. I'm thankful that I'm in a church that is molding and influencing my children. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for one day the trump of God is going to sound. And everything that was temporary, everything that we think's real really ain't real, one day we're going to see the real deal. I have that promise from the Word of God. And you say, "Brother Grant, are you sure about that?" Yes, I'm thankful for that. You see, I want to say to you, we ought to be thankful for our clothing, our friends, all that stuff. But our thanksgiving and our praise ought to be in direct proportion to the blessings we have in our life. And I want to tell you, I fall short. I fall way short. Because I ought to be praising God all the time. Jeff Thomas shared this to John MacArthur. Has said, and I'm going to read it to you this morning. I think it puts things in perspective. John MacArthur, he said, there was a marvelous story told of a little girl in France. She was given the Gospel of Mark in Braille. She, with her fingers, began to read that Gospel and came to know Christ and embraced Him as her Savior. Then that Gospel became infinitely more precious to her, and she read it and read it and read it until she developed such calluses on her fingers they no longer could use or sense the letters. And desire to have the hunger of her heart fulfilled again, she peeled the skin back off her fingertips that she might bear a more sensitive tissue to again feel. In doing so, the doctor said that she damaged the nerves and she would never feel again with her fingers. She was brokenhearted, and with tears in her eyes, one day she picked up the Braille Bible and put it to her lips as to kiss it farewell. Only to discover her lips were far more sensitive than her fingers had ever been. She spent the rest of her days reading it with her lips. You know why? Because she loved the Word of God. Man, I tell you what, I've looked back, I've been impressed myself because I've wore out a few Bibles along the way. Think about it. I've wore out a few Bibles. The other day I had to take this and put glue on it and put clamps on it and hold it the right way. Tape it the right way so it'll stay together. Because I want to preach from this one. I've got used to it. Got notes in there. I have a big Thompson chain rail called Big Red. It's absolutely falling apart. I had another Schofield Bible falling apart. I had another big Schofield. It disappeared on me, but it was just pages falling out. Love that Bible, but guess what? It's falling apart. I could go back to some of the Bibles my grandparents, two others that they gave me, that they just absolutely, and I'm not saying that to brag, but I want to promise you this. I've never wore out my eyeballs reading the Word of God. Think about that. You know why? This girl loved the spiritual things. She was thankful for the truth that God set before her. Oftentimes we wear ourselves out, not because we're thankful, but because we forget what God has done. We ought to take the time to give God thanks. We forget and we neglect and we take for granted, but we ought to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Let me tell you something today, if anybody here gets on heaven's shore, it'll be because of what Jesus Christ did and Him alone. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful and we ought to be praising. It'd be a great time to stir up the inner man right now and say, oh Lord, God help me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that was in me. Bless His holy name. You say, what should I do this Thanksgiving? I tell you what y'all do. Gather around the family, open up Psalm 100 and say, we're going to read it. And we're going to praise God. Because it ain't about the food, it's about everybody that's here with us. That's what's important. You see, I'm thankful today because of what Jesus did for me. I'm thankful for all the benefits that He has blessed me. Thankful for my friends, those that I look out over this crowd, and there's people I love just like I do my own family. And I am so thankful for you. But you want me to tell you where all that come from? Come from a God in heaven who reigns. Nothing I've done. Let's put it in perspective this year. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. Lord, we've not come to put on a show this morning. We've just come, God, to challenge hearts. That we would be thankful. God, we're so busy running to and fro. I'm guilty pursuing the things of this world. But God, how we ought to need to sit back and say, God, everything we have and everything that is within me, I want to praise You because, God, You alone are worthy. Lord, I pray to, if anything, this Thursday, when our church families gather together and they sit around the table and carve the turkey, and they sit around to pray, may they take a better look. May they look at grandpa, grandma, mom and dad, their sons, their daughters. May they look at their health. And God, may they be filled with joy, knowing everything that You have blessed us with. May we never take it for granted. Because, Lord, I believe that's what the heathen do. We need to be thankful. Lord, praise Your name today in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.